Hi, I'm Lee, and welcome to the second episode of The Guitar Show from the British Tech Network. I hope you enjoyed the first episode, and thanks for subscribing. This week we'll be taking a look at the news from last week, some of the highlights from Music Mesa. We're going to be talking about a few essential apps again for guitarists. We're going to be looking at our cool stuff of the week. We're going to have our Learning with Lee section. And we're also going to go through some questions that I've received from you guys. So let's get on to the show. So we're straight into the news. So last week we were talking about Music Mesa that was happening in Germany. So I picked out five things that I wanted to just talk through that kind of caught my eye. The first one is one that we rumoured last week. This was the Tony Iommi's Epiphone SG model. So they officially announced that Tony Iommi was in Frankfurt to show it off. So it's going to be coming in the summer and is a limited run of 2,000 guitars. It's got a, if you know Tony Iommi's kind of signature Gibson, it's got the cross fret markers, which is quite obviously distinctive. It's in that kind of black finish. The Epiphone is going to have the USA pickups, so Tony Iommi's signature pickups. It's going to have a hand-signed certificate with it. And I'd love to be able to get one in for review. Given their limited numbers, I'm going to struggle, I think, but I'll give that one a go. Second, Roland have released two new versions of its Blues Cube amps. So these are kind of solid-state amps, but they're meant to sound like a valve amp, basically. They're a little bit on a play on the kind of Blues Junior. They're very, very kind of Fender-looking. They've basically released a separate head and a 4x10 cabinet, and they've also got a combo. They do sound fantastic. I've only played one once. But it's definitely a great amp for home and practice and kind of studio and gigging. Third on the list that caught my eye was Ibanez have released a limited run of Joe Satriani models to celebrate Joe's 25th anniversary with Ibanez. These are very limited. They're personally hand-drawn by Joe as well, so he's done all the artwork on them. They do retail for about $8,000. But it's a real collector's item, so I don't kind of have that sort of cash lying around, but it's going to be a great collector's guitar for somebody. Orange have stepped into the pedal market with the Backspangita. So this is a UK made custom shop EQ pedal, so it looks like just looks like a normal stomp box. It's got a preamp in it and it's got a recording facility within it as well, all in that one unit. I haven't got a massive amount of information on this just yet because I've not received a kind of a proper press release, but I'm seeing some good things on YouTube and just generally on some of the sites about this, so I'm interested to try and get one of these in to test out. Lastly, Marshall have announced a new series called the Astoria. These are hand-built amps based in the UK, so they're made in the UK in their factory. They're really kind of retro-styled and available in a few colours. And if they've got three basically different models, so they've got a classic, which is a single channel. So this is kind of aimed at having a good kind of bass guitar sound. When I say bass, I don't mean bass as in a bass guitar. I mean kind of a level, kind of a nice clean level tone, and put pedals on top of that. These are a custom version, which is the same as the classic, but with an effects loop and a foot switchable boost. And then there's a dual, which is a dual channel. So it's one for channel for cleans and one channels for leads. So that's the kind of a summary of the news. There will be things coming out, I'm sure, in the next few months that we'll be talking about, which would have been released at Music Mesa, but these are the ones that kind of caught my interest. So that's the news for this week. So following on from last week, I just wanted to continue talking about apps for guitarists. So, being a technology writer and a guitarist, as I've mentioned before, it gives me a good view of what apps are actually good for musicians, and some of the ones I wanted to touch on today, just a few more following on from last week. The first one is SoundCloud. So SoundCloud is a great way of uploading ideas and sharing files with anyone, anywhere. The app used to be really good. You used to be able to record on it, upload songs, but for some reason they took all that out of the app, and I'm not sure why. So at the moment the app allows you to view your music and, you know, listen to other people's music. So they've removed the recording facility, so I don't use that anymore. But I do use it for having kind of quick access to my stuff, where, you know, my uploads, I've uploaded backing tracks and my music that I want to share. So, you know, if I want to practice against a backing track, I can just fire up SoundCloud and just go to the one that I want to play against. This second app, well, it's kind of two apps, but made by the same people, a company called Positive Grid. So they do one called Bias and one called JamUp Pro. So these do require you having a good connection to your guitar and your phone. So having an audio interface, something like the Apogee Jam or some of the iRig stuff is not essential, because you can use a microphone. But I found that the best results, again, through having an actual interface. As I say, there are two apps. One is called Bias, which is a amp designer. So you can pick everything from kind of like the what it says on the front of the amp down to the tubes that are being used. You can customize cabinets, all sorts of stuff. You can spend hours messing around with it. And those go into JamUp Pro. So JamUp Pro is basically like having a multi-effects unit with you all the time. The sounds available on it are brilliant. There's a library, an online library where you can download tones, and you can upload your own too. They are paid apps. They're not too expensive. I think JamUp, there's something called JamUp which is free. JamUp Pro you do have to pay for, but it's well worth it. And then you can download extra patches to give you kind of extra pedals and extra amps and cabinets and microphones. The last one I wanted to talk about was Guitar Jam Tracks. This is an app that I've used to help me with my improvisation. So there's backing tracks available on there in different styles. There's a chord database, a scale database as well. So if you pick a particular style of music, say blues, there's one called Acoustic Blues, you can pick which key you want to play that in, and then it'll show you examples. Well, I'll show you all the scales that you can use to play over that track, which is something, you know, we'll get into scales at some point in one of the learning lessons, but it's a great way to start to get into improvisation. So that's Guitar Jam Tracks, and again, I think that's a paid one, but these apps are not expensive and that they're well worth it for the value that you get out of them. And what I'll do is, as we go through these podcasts, I'll be putting down my ideas in terms of other apps that I think you guys should be checking out. Hi, welcome to the video section of the Guitar Show podcast. Apologies for the camera angle. This is the best one that I could find, basically, to show you what I'm playing. I will be changing this as we go along, but this is the first time I've done a video segment on the podcast, so just bear with me for now, and we'll change it up as we go along. So this video lesson is aimed at a beginner. We're going to talk about the string names and how to tune your guitar, and a few little tips for learning some of the notes. So if we just start off, this is just six string electric, and the string names, as we go down from the top string, is E, A, D, G, B, and E. So these are our open notes. First little tip, at the 12th fret, the notes are exactly the same. So that's an E, and that's an E as well, and that's the same all the way down. Okay, so at the 12th fret, the notes are the same as the open notes. When I was learning to play guitar, I picked up a lot of stuff by ear by just following, CDs and records actually back then as well, picking stuff up by ear. So I've always played by ear, and my theory kind of came later. I'm not huge on theory, but I know enough to be able to, you know, play with other musicians. This is kind of, you know, from beginner to an intermediate was kind of my target level for maybe a lot of these podcasts, for a lot of these kind of videos, especially at the beginning. So things that Just give you an example of why it's important to know the notes is if you're playing with someone that's, say, playing something in A, which is just up here. You know, okay, that's an A there. And I know my pentatonic scale. Again, we're going into some of the scales that I use in another lesson, but you can, you know, improvise over that. But that's why, you know, it's important. And you know, the way I've picked up notes and learning notes and improvising is just by listening to a song and then just going up the fretboard to figure out which note here sounds the same as what I'm listening to. Well, again, we can go into that in a separate lesson too. So that's your string names. Before I go on to a few little tips, just a little tuning tips for your guitar. So you need, for this, you need to have tuned your E string. But even if it's slightly out, it's not a big deal. But the point of this is to be able to tune your guitar without a need of a tuner. So what you do is at the fifth fret, which is this one, you hit the E and the A underneath it. And those notes should be the same. And then you do the same again. You move down to the A. And you're hitting the D underneath it. Same again. So you move down to the D, and you move hitting the G underneath it, just the open G. And when you're on the G, you actually move down one to the fourth fret, and you're doing that with the B underneath. And then for the B, you come back up to the fifth. And you do that with the underneath there. And you can see I've just tuned the guitar so you can see it's all nicely in line. But maybe to practice this, a good thing would be to do is to use your tuner. Tune your E, but don't tune anything else. And then just use your ear to tune the rest. That's going to be a good lesson for you about recognising notes. So give that one a go. That'd be a good thing to do for the next podcast. The next thing I want to touch on briefly is the notes themselves. So the notes run A to G. They all have a sharp, except the B and the E. So if I run through, let's say, pick the E string. So you've got E as the open. This no sharp, F, F sharp, or G flat, but I always say F sharp, G, G sharp, A, and then it goes A, A sharp, B, no sharp on the B, C, D, sorry, C, C sharp, D, D sharp, E. And that's an octave, and that's why those two sound the same. We go into that a little bit on a separate podcast, but those are the notes you work up from, and the reason I'm telling you that is because one of the little tricks that I kind of picked up on was that you can apply a kind of a pattern across the fingerboard to work out relative notes. So I use 3-5-7 on the E and 3-5-7 on the A, and our notes are G, A, B, C, D, E. Okay, so G, A, B, C, D, E. So the shape we're going to be using just for this kind of little trick is this shape, yeah. So in this instance, I've got this on the, I've got my finger here on the E string, and then I've got, this is open, and then I'm on the fifth on the D string. So it's only these two strings, just the E and the D string, that I'm worried about. and it's a movable pattern. And the reason I'm showing you that is that's a G, and that's a G. So that note there is a G, because that one is. That's an A, that's an A, that's a D, that's a D. And that's kind of a quick way of identifying a note just from using that shape. Now, moving down to the next run, we can keep that same shape. So we're doing the third fret on the A string and the fifth fret on the G string. It's exactly the same shape, except just move down one. And that's the same, so we know from our pattern, G, A, B, C, that's a C, that's a C2. And then this is the same again. We can move that, and we know that that second note is the same as our first one. When we come down to the next one, so we've moved down from there to there, now we move down again, we change our pattern slightly. So, yeah, so as I was saying, we move the pattern down slightly, so we don't, with this pattern, when we move down to this one, when we move down to the D, we keep our third fret there on the D string, but we're using the sixth fret, so instead of going, which is the pattern if we moved it down, keeping the same one as we've done for the top two, we just bring that to there instead, so we're doing the sixth on the B string, and this is movable too. So that's the same note as that, that's the same note as that, that's the same note as that, and again. So just quickly the summary, so we've got this shape for our top, then we move it down, then we come down to the D, we change our pattern slightly, then the bottom string is an E, so G, A, B, G, A, B. So the bottom string is exactly going to be exactly the same as the notes in the top string. And I think for in terms of practice, the things to do for this week are for the beginner guitarists out there, is to learn the string names, just the open strings. Then tune your E string. It's going to take you a while to be able to tune an E by ear. I can just about get there, but even I have to check it on a tuner. And you can use, tuner on your phone. I've got just one here on my phone that I use. Or, you can get tuners from a lot of places. I'm actually going to talk about tuners a little bit in this podcast, so you might have already got to this section and already had some ideas about the tuner. But then when you do the rest of the strings, do that trick. So remember 5, 5, 5, 4, 5. So get used to being able to tell if those two strings sound the same. This is important for developing your ear. And then there's that trick that I showed about identifying the notes. You don't need to worry too much about that just yet, really. But it's just something to practice too, just the shapes more than anything, and holding down, because if you're not, I don't know how much you know about chords yet from your playing. Again, let me know via the contact on the podcast or via Twitter if I'm going too fast or if you need to learn some new stuff. But this shape might be a little bit of a stretch for you, but it's good to practice that. And the way I play it is, it's very hard to keep your hand over the, like when you're playing chords. That's a G chord. You see I've got my thumb over. Which I will do for a lot of chords. But But when you start doing things like, you can do it, but you need to put your hand in kind of, that's going to be hard to show on the camera, the middle of the neck. But you'll find what's most comfortable for you, and we can talk about, you know, hand position and things like that in a different podcast. Maybe next week we'll talk about hand position and some basic chords. But for now, if you find that difficult, I wouldn't worry too much about it. Just get the string names down and get that tune in that I told you about as well. So I hope you've enjoyed this lesson, and then we'll get back onto the main podcast. So on to cool stuff. So this week I'm going to pick something that is essential for all guitarists, a tuner. So, you know, I've been playing, you know, as I said in the last podcast, I've been playing quite a while now, and I've used all different types of tuners. I've never actually, apart from having a tuner on a kind of a multi-effects unit, I've never actually had a stomp box, which is just a pedal itself. I've always used kind of like these little Roland ones that you just plug a guitar lead into and tune it, you know, really accurate, and they're quite easy to carry around. But one thing over the last kind of few months, I've really become attached to headstock tuners. So these are little tuners, they're not actually that expensive. You can get them on Amazon from, you know, £4 or £5 up to £25-30. I've tried ones from kind of mix like Korg, but I found one from a make called Tiger, really cheap. I can't remember how much it was, but it's really good. And you'll see a little picture of it in the podcast notes, but these are effectively little clips. So you clip the tuner onto your guitar headstock, and it uses the vibration to measure the note rather than the noise. So I tend to just keep it on my guitar all the time, and if I'm in like a rehearsal room or somewhere where a lot of noise is going on, if it has no effect whatsoever on me being able to tune my guitar. And they're normally really bright as well, so if you're in a bit of a darker situation, you can see, you know, based on it being red or green when it's in tune, where you are. So I definitely recommend checking those out. The one I've used, again, I'll put a picture in the notes, in the show notes, but this one is called Tiger. I don't even know if you do a tiger, maybe if you just do a search on Amazon for Tiger headstock tuner, you might find it, but I've gone on there and looked again, and I can't actually find it, but there are lots that are very similar. I imagine there's one kind of factory pushing out a lot of these just under different brands. So that's a headstock tuner. Again, very cheap, great. I use them all the time, so definitely recommend checking out headstock tuner. So that's the cool stuff for this week. So I want to take a quick break from the podcast to thank uk2.net. they've been a great supporter of the British Tech Network, and I wanted to give them a huge thanks for supporting this show and providing us with our hosting and bandwidth. Please check them out via britishtechnetwork.com, look at the sponsor link, and just under there you'll see a visit uk2.net link, and that way they know that you found them through us. So thanks again to uk2.net for supporting the show. So I've got a couple of questions in from you guys after the first episode. So I wanted to run through those. The first one is via email. This is from Andy, and this is around practice amps, good practice amps for a beginner. So for me, like the best practice amp I've ever had is the Roland Microcube. This is something that I still use daily. It's the one that I used in the video, if you've watched the Learning with Lee video section. They retail for under £100. I think when I bought mine, it was something like £79 UK. I'm not sure what that is in dollars. But it's a great amp for having around the house. You can't take it out for kind of rehearsals or gigs or anything like that. But it's battery powered or mains powered. It's got some nice amp modeling. It's got some nice effects. So it's got kind of like reverb, overdrive, chorus, delay. It's got a tuner built in. Headphone jack, so it's really versatile. If you're looking for something that's a little bit bigger than that, so something that you could use at home as a practice amp with the flexibility of going out too, then I'd recommend looking at something. The one I used actually for quite a while was a Marshall Class 5. This is a 5-watt valve amp. It's quite a small amp, but you can actually use it in rehearsals. I've used it, especially you can plug it into a cabinet as well. And I've used it in full band kind of situations, and even though it's 5 watt, it's loud, especially when you plug it into kind of a 4x10 or 4x12. I think I was using it with a 2x12 Mesa Boogie cab. So yeah, I mean, for a beginner, I wouldn't recommend spending definitely not more than £100 just to start. And I think the Roland series, the Micro Cube is the one that I'd recommend as a starter. But the whole Cube series is really good for, you know, really good money, value for money. So I definitely recommend checking those ones out, especially, you know, following on from last week where I talked a little bit about the Boss ME80 multi-effects unit. A lot of the effects, the bass effects on those, kind of like your chorus and reverb, but they put those straight down onto the Cube series. So you're getting a lot for your money. So the second question again, this is come via email. And this is from Mike. And this is around recording without an audio interface on iOS. So the beauty, obviously, with an iOS product is it's got a microphone built in. So if you want to record your guitar onto an iOS device, you can use something like GarageBand, as we talked about last week. And you can just use the microphone. The app that we talked about this week, the JamUp app, that uses your microphone too. But like I said in that little section, the quality is not going to be amazing. Just realize that. I mean, I would recommend going out and looking at I use the Apogee Jam, the 96K, I think it is, which is the new one. I think they've discounted the old Apogee Jam, but they're great products. Any of the Apogee audio products are great. If you want something a little bit cheaper, if this is something that you're kind of messing around with, then the iRig. There's an iRig 2, I think, now, which you can get from the Apple Store. You can buy it on Amazon. They're reasonably priced and they're very good quality too. And also Line 6 do some audio interface gear that you can plug your guitar into an iPad. So yeah, I'd start with just using a microphone just to see what the quality is like for yourself. If it's just for recording ideas, then you're probably going to be okay. But if you do want to do some more kind of some proper recording, you know, of your music, then I'd recommend checking out an actual audio interface. The beauty with the Apogee Jam is that you can use it for plugging into your iPad or into your PC or your Mac. So the Apogee Jam 96K was about £110-120, something like that. And that just sounds fantastic. That's actually the recording intro music and outro music on this podcast was recorded with a Jam 96K. Plugged into my MacBook Pro using the built-in effects on Logic Pro. So I really rate Apogee, and even if it's, you know, a little bit more, if it's massively more than you want to spend, then go for something else. But I'd recommend spending, you know, maybe saving an extra month or an extra month or two and getting the Apogee one. So that's the Apogee Jam 96K, and that's all the questions I've got this week. Okay, so thanks for listening. That's episode 2 of The Guitar Show. I really appreciate you've stuck with me for a second episode. We're kind of learning this as we go along in terms of the format, and I'm totally open to feedback from you all. So if there is anything you want me to help you learn, or if you've got any feedback or any cool things maybe you want to suggest, then feel free to drop me a note on britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message or just contact me on Twitter. So that's at LJPUK. And I look forward to talking to you next time. Have a great week.